forgot to mention pass the clipboard, so someone's going to catch me on that. So why don't y'all be passing that sometime next few minutes and signing up if you want to come to the meal on Wednesday night. I'm going to read a few more verses from Romans 8, selectively. Verse 26. In the same way the Spirit helps us in our weaknesses, we do not know what we ought to pray for. But the Spirit Himself intercedes for us with groans that words cannot express. And He who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints in accordance with God's will. And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love Him, who have been called according to His purpose. Then I'm going to skip down to verse 31. What then shall we say in response to this? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare His own Son, but gave Him up for us all, will He not also, along with Him, graciously give us all things? Who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? Let's pray. Lord, once again, we give thanks for Your Word and for what it means to us. We ask, Lord, that Your Word might be implanted in our hearts this morning as we study about the Holy Spirit. But more than just a study or a doctrine, help us to be aware of how much You are present in our lives through Your Spirit, that You are leading and guiding us, protecting us, and giving us a great sense of Your loving presence. May all that You wish us to learn this morning and to be aware of open our hearts and help us, Lord. We pray through Jesus. Amen. Well, I'm going to tell you a story. It sounds like a preacher story, but honest to goodness, it's true. It's reported in the Houston Chronicle, 1995, about a world-class maestro, conductor, who was in charge of the opera. Okay, I'll get this straight here in a second. He was in charge of the opera in Milan, Italy. A few minutes before the opera was to go on, the management of the La Scala Opera House announced the bad news that the orchestra had decided to strike and that the opera would not go on that night. The audience booed. The leading soprano wept backstage. It seemed like there was no hope for the performance. Riccardo Muti Step forward, he is the orchestra leader, the maestro, stepped forward and said that he would play the score at the piano. And so the maestro, the head of the orchestra, played the piano. And as the performance was over, the crowd turned from jeering and disappointment to pleasure and exultation. Well, maybe you've heard that story. I think it's a wonderful illustration of how so many times in life we have everything that's prepared and something falls apart. Maybe our own sinfulness, our wickedness, like Paul said in Romans 7, that indwelling sin that's always there springs up when we're least aware of it. Things fall apart. But God is like that great master, maestro, who comes in and says, I will direct this orchestra. I will come into your life and I will prepare a ministry to you that will not fail. Do you believe that? When we're talking about the Holy Spirit, we're talking about an indwelling of God in your life. That is a ministry to you and for you. And that's what I want you to learn today from Romans 8. There's a lot of things that we could say here from Romans 8. Most of the time when I grew up, when you mentioned the Holy Spirit, it was about a controversy. People argued about it. Well, I'm not here to argue about it. I don't intend to argue about it. It's not an argument, nor is it a doctrine. But it is something to be received and to be practiced in life. I think the church has oftentimes been very cautious when we talk about the Holy Spirit, because a lot of people think they're talking about the miraculous gifts, tongue speaking or prophesying or inspiration. And there have been many people down through the ages from the early church who have claimed inspiration and have led people off into sects, heresies. And so the church is very cautious about that. Now, we're not trying to deny that's part of it, but what I want to see is the ministry of the Holy Spirit is for every single Christian. In Romans 8, verse, well, I'll get that in just a minute. What I want us to see here is the example of people like Paul and Stephen. It's specifically mentioned in Acts 6 that Stephen was a man full of the Holy Spirit. And that comes between mentioning about he is full of wisdom and of good reputation. So it seems to me that what he's talking about is what Paul says here in Romans 8:29, that it is God's will that we be conformed to the image of his Son. In other words, God wants us to be like Jesus in terms of what we do, what we say, how we minister and practice. And to help us to become like Jesus, we need to have the personal indwelling of the Holy Spirit. Now, when Paul says there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, I mean, that contrasts everything what we said about the personal indwelling of sin in our lives. It totally condemns us. We're never above that. We never get beyond it. But yet when we turn that page from chapter 7 to chapter 8, the Holy Spirit is saying to us, you're free. You're saved. You're not going to be condemned because you are in Christ. And now I want us to see six things about the indwelling of the Holy Spirit and the ministry of the Holy Spirit that he has for every one of us here. Now, there are more things, and as you read through the New Testament, it's filled with exhortations about the Holy Spirit and how he affects our life. But I want us to see several things. First of all, I want to see that he comes to bring a changed mindset to us. Let's look at verse 6. The mind of the sinful man is death, but the mind controlled by the Spirit is life and peace. So as you read through these verses here, particularly 5 through 8, he talks about how we have the Holy Spirit to lead and to guide us into thoughts that God is projecting toward us. So that our affections, as Paul would say in Colossians 3, are set on things above. Now I have a good illustration of how our affections are changed as we're brought into the kingdom of God. My dad, who has been passed away for a number of years, and my mom too, had a very rocky beginning in their lives. Dad was born in 1912. He was in the military. I told you the story about his rough beginning in military life. Very rough. But what I didn't tell you is that my mother was courting some fella down in East Texas by the name of Bynums. Now, I don't know what his first name is. I don't want to know. But for about 2 years, you know, back in those days, they didn't date. They courted. And she was courting this Bynum fellow. And I guess she would have probably married him maybe at some point if he ever got around to asking her, or, you know, if they'd have been a little bit more forward. But my dad came in a weekend from the Army, met Loy Denman, and maybe he was swept off of his feet, but she was certainly swept off of hers. But within a matter of just a few months, they were writing, decided that they would get married. You know what? Her affections changed immediately from Bynum to Denman. I'm so glad she did. But those affections changed forever. And maybe my dad will just mention every now and then about how he stole that man's time and how he came in and changed this woman. Well, you know, that's what the Holy Spirit does for us. Here we are in this world, pursuing all the things of this world, loving the things of this world. But when God comes into our life with the love of God, it grabs a hold of us and changes our affections so that the things that we love are no longer the things of this world, but the things of God. I love that illustration. Secondly, you belong to God. Verse 15. For you did not receive a spirit that makes you a slave again to fear, but you received the Spirit of sonship. And by him we cry, Abba, Father. Sonship and inheritance. You know, I don't know if you think you're worth redeeming or you're worth lovable. There's a lot of people in life that don't think they deserve to be loved. But what the Spirit, what Paul is telling us here, what God is saying to us, is that God paid a price for you and for me. And that price was the blood of Jesus Christ. You are not only worth loving, but you are worth everything to God, who pursues you to redeem you. Now, which one of you, if your children were kidnapped, Well, you know, in the Bible, there was a famous son who was kidnapped. Remember his name was Joseph? He was the favorite son. He had the coat of many colors. How much would Jacob have paid to get his son back? Everything he had. And here the scripture tells us that God would not withhold anything from us. He gave the best in giving Jesus Christ to redeem us back. That's what it means to be a son. And so we cry, Abba, Father. And that's Hebrew coming out right there. Abba, Father. But we now call God Father. We don't just call Him some distant God, some force. We call Him Father. Now, the other day I called Jay up and I said, first thing I said on the phone is Abu Caleb there? Caleb. Is Abu Caleb there? He said, who? I said, I'm speaking Arabic to you, son. Probably shouldn't have done that, but that just means the father of Caleb. Is the father of Caleb there? And that's the way we refer to fathers in the Middle East. I'm Abu John. So in this case, he's the father of Caleb. We wanted to go over and see the little one the other night. And that probably didn't mean anything to him. Here, as we read in Romans 8, when Paul says Abba, to the Greek people around the world, that didn't mean as much because it's translating Hebrew right into the Greek. But right after that, it's the word father. So it tells us to say Abba, Father, is to remind us of the closeness that we have with God. God is drawing us near like a father would draw his son near. So we are called the children of God. That means everything to us. The Holy Spirit is reminding us how dear we are as children of God. Thirdly, we have a hope of a resurrection. The Holy Spirit is reminding us that it is by the power that raised up Jesus from the dead. Let's look at that, verse 11. The Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you. He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit who lives in you. There are many people in this life that have no hope. Their life is lived only for today or tomorrow or the next few years, trying to get as much pleasure they can, but when they die, they have no plans for eternity. That is one of the saddest things in the world. But for the Christian, the person whom the Holy Spirit has indwelled and reminded him that they are children of God, I'm going to tell you something. When we go to the grave, we don't go there weeping. Because we know that when the sound of the archangel comes, when Jesus comes back, those grave clothes are going to be dusted off. And by the way, that dust is part of your body. So don't worry about it. You're going to get a new one. It's going to be changed in the twinkling of an eye. Whatever this spiritual body is like, I'm ready for a new body for sure. And probably you are too, right, Ray? You ready for it. And we're going to get it. So he's telling us here that we have that resurrection hope. Fourthly, the Holy Spirit puts us in debt. Verse 12. Just want to look at a part of that. Therefore, brothers, we have an obligation. Now, this word here is the word debt, and some translations will say that. We're debtors. The debtor is not to the indwelling sin, but it is to the indwelling Spirit. Because God has redeemed us, bought us, made us sons, and therefore we have an obligation. Do you sense that obligation to God? The Bible tells us you've been bought with a price. You're not your own. So if you claim to be your own, you're walking your own way, you don't belong to Him. But if you believe that you have a debt in your family, then you recognize that the Holy Spirit has called you, put you into this debt. Fifthly, the Holy Spirit helps us with our weaknesses. Verse 26. The same way the Spirit helps us with our weaknesses, we do not know how to pray as we ought. But the Spirit Himself intercedes for us. Now, I can't go into detail here. And I don't know what all is entailed with our weaknesses. But you know, we have many weaknesses in life, right? And it says the Holy Spirit is a helper. In the same way that Elaine is my helper, and the Bible calls a woman a help, a person for a man, and in the same way that I'm a helper for her, we help each other. We make up and complement each other. You believe the Holy Spirit does that for you? When you have weaknesses, God knows your weaknesses. You think the Holy Spirit wants you to work on that? Do you think he's leading you in some of those areas? And there's some of those weaknesses where you just have to get down on your knees and pray and say, and that's what the scripture says, I'm not really sure what to pray for. You ever gotten the point in life you don't know what to say? You just kind of groan or weep? That's a real struggle. Or maybe you're working with somebody in life in a situation you don't know how to get out of it, or you don't know how to make the most of it. And so you say, God, help me. The scripture says that the Spirit of God is there with you as a partner, as a helper. You know, there's times that I don't know what to pray for when I'm praying for the sermon. I just say, God, help us with this sermon. Do you ever feel that way about your life? God, just help me. And believing that God wants to be there for you. Well, let's look at the last one. The Holy Spirit helps us in perseverance. Verse 31. What then shall we say in response to this? If God is for us, who can be against us? You believe that God is on your side? Because that is a world of difference between believing that God is against you. And I think there's a lot of people that think God is against them. I believe that God is an all-seeing eye, but he's not the all-seeing eye that's watching for all my mistakes. He's an all-seeing eye watching to come to my aid, to my rescue, to my deliverance, and eternally for my salvation and heavenly home. It goes back a long time, but I tell you, when I was in the eighth grade, long time ago, I played on a football team and we were undefeated. Never lost a game. And we knew that we couldn't lose. We went to district and, you know, we won that one, just slaughtered everybody. You know why? We had one guy in the backfield that ran over everybody. He could have played for the high school team. And everybody else was a supplement to him. We just handed him the ball or passed him the ball and he just won. So as long as he was on our team and healthy and alive, we were doing well. You think that's the way it could be if God were on your side? And God is on your side. The love of God coming into your life through the Holy Spirit, letting you know you're not your own, that you're a son of God, that you have an inheritance with him, that he helps you in your weaknesses, and now he is going to be for you to the very end and then beyond. Do you see what all this is saying about the Holy Spirit? Is that God is ministering to you and on your behalf. God is working in your life and in the life of Christian people in churches like this today and those who call upon his name. So now the question that I ask is, have you called on his name? Have you allowed the Holy Spirit to come into your life? And how might you do that? You do it by asking for Jesus Christ to be your Savior. The Holy Spirit doesn't glorify himself. He's not our Savior. But he comes to remind us that Jesus Christ died for our sins and rose for our sakes. The Holy Spirit comes to empower us to live for Jesus. But it's about Jesus Christ. It's about his death on the cross. It's about his resurrection for our sake. And it's about your believing that God loves you so much, as our brother said, that he loves you more than anything, that he would give his own son for you. Would you believe that? I mean, God's at work, drawing you out, hoping that you will, and saying, seal that love and that faith by being baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. So this morning, we just ask you, can you believe it? Can you accept it? Can you come to Jesus? And if you are in Jesus Christ, do you feel the Holy Spirit in your life wanting to lead you on to a greater participation in his kingdom and in this world? Let's stand and sing his invitation.